last night. Got a feeling that something ain't right. Gotta hear the latest news of the day. What crazy thing did our president say? There's commies to the left of me, Nazis to the right. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Yes!
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Friday, October 12th, 2018. Very chilly outside. Very, very chilly outside.
Yeah, when I
stay in and listen to Justice and Drew this morning.
When I got in the car to go home yesterday, I was like, oh, I did not dress warm enough today.
I wore, later on in the day, I got my big winter, puffy winter coat.
Yep.
It was cold.
Yeah. It was because I had a polo and just like a light jacket. And in the morning, the car's in the garage. It's not a big deal. And I got in the car and I was like, oh, I got to start layering up.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's time. We didn't get an autumn.
No, we didn't have a spring. We barely had a summer, and we didn't even get an autumn.
No, no autumn. Minnesota. No autumn for us.
We got an autumn. It's all over my street and my lawn.
It'll be covered with snow soon enough.
We got some flurries when I got home.
I know. I saw flurries yesterday at my house.
I was hoping it was going to accumulate so I could build the snowman, but
I was grumbling.
That did not take place. Yeah, it's going to be chilly.
Groaning and grumbling.
I was told though by the weather that the sun would poke out at some point.
Tomorrow's supposed to be a nice day, sunny and like a high of 52.
All right.
I'll take that.
I'll take that. Does that meet the Drew stamp of approval?
We need that for the rest of October. Needs to just stay like that for the rest of October.
I don't believe
it's not going to.
Well, no, we get back next week to feel like 57. Just a couple of 57 days for now.
So I'll take 57. 57 makes me happy.
For now we'll take it. Actually, I had there's actually a story in the Pioneer Press this morning. A Minnesota law kicks in to provide warmth for residents who cannot pay their heating bills. So Minnesota's wintertime heating bill protections are already people are getting
just warmth for people who can pay their heating bill.
People
like when I'm outside. Can we pass a law about that?
Low-income Minnesotans may be eligible for energy assistance programs from the state, utilities, or charities that offer discounted heat or help during colder months. It's like the government just like does everything they can to help you. Isn't that great?
That's very nice.
I think that's fantastic. The government's there to pay your heating bills. You know, I know that when I was,
pay my cell phone bill. If they're out there paying bills, I got a few that they could chip in on.
Well, that's different. You've made a larger choice then. I mean, not the, people make a choice to live where they're going to live, but, that's you purchasing a particular phone. That's much different.
How about we, it's a very insensitive joke I'm about to make, and it's just a joke. But what if, we take that money instead of paying the bills, the heating bills for people that can't afford it, why don't we pay to, move them someplace where it's warm?
Oh, I like that idea.
Right? And they won't have heating bills.
True. Yeah, well, the city of Minneapolis
It's a bigger expense, but it's a one-time expense.
The city of Minneapolis is all about moving people.
Right?
Imagine
if a city started doing that, just taking its low-income people and like, we're moving you to San Diego. San Diego's like, what the hell?
When we were in Arizona, did they ever pay for people's cooling?
Air conditioning? Probably.
I don't recall if that happened or not. I don't remember. Maybe it did. Well, good for the people that are low income that can get assisted heating bills. Busy show on tap this morning.
We do have the Friday Roundtable coming in. It is Brian McDaniel, comedian Brian Miller, joining us. That'll be right around 7 o'clock. We also have your chance to win Vikings tickets this weekend's game against the Cardinals at US Bank Stadium. All you got to do is predict who's going to win the Friday News Quiz. Is it going to be Brian McDaniel? Is it going to be Brian Miller? Or will it be defending champion?
Woohoo!
Producer Sam Sansevier.
Yeah!
Have we decided on what her handicap is going to be this morning?
I think she needs a couple point handicap. That's what I've decided.
No!
Yes.
I'm not going to play if you're going to give me a handicap.
You've got an advantage because you're part of the show.
I don't care.
Every day.
They should be listening.
So many of the things that happen during the news quiz are...
They should be listening just as much.
They are alive the same number of hours I am. They could spend the same amount of time in the news.
It was decided last week that during the course of the show leading up to the news quiz, John and I can arbitrarily award...
I don't like
or
this.
Or remove points
I don't like this
if
game
you
anymore.
Please or displease us. So just be on your best behavior.
I'm not playing with
just a handicap. Just be on your best behavior.
Hashtag TCNT if you think that's bogus.
I'll tell you what. For the sake of the quality and the moods of the people of the rest of the show, we won't do that.
We'll just revisit it later on in the morning.
Yeah.
We'll make it to the news quiz.
But we won't do that, Sam.
We don't have to tell them either.
I ain't no dummy.
We'll just... Drew, just when you're marking the things down, just miss a few, you know, see if anybody happens to go and notice.
I lost like 4 weeks in a row, and you're going to give me a handicap because I won once?
Whoa. God, you're such a whiner. I never knew you were such a whiner.
Tense. I'm not whining. This is ridiculous.
It's an outrage.
It is an outrage.
It's an outrage.
I'm disappointed,
it's
John,
a good
that
thing
you support
that
it.
Sam really gets the spirit of the game, that it's just in fun, and she actually stands no chance of winning anything.
Except victory. Duh.
Super competitive.
Use the hashtag TCNT. Let us know what you think on Twitter. The game will be played right around 8:35 this morning. Lots to get to on the show today. There's a story here out of the Hill. It's pretty interesting. Lengthy piece talking about the election countdown. And they highlight Minnesota Dems worrying about the Ellison allegations costing them a race. Dems are struggling to mobilize Latino voters. Speaking of Arizona, there's a really, I don't know if you've seen it, Drew, there's a really interesting story. One of the seven Senate seats that the Democrats would need to pick up is this race between Democrat Representative Kyrsten Sinema, who's awful, she's awful, and Martha McSally. Now, McSally was actually, they were neck and neck in the last poll, the last big poll that was done, showed her up by six. Well, new October surprise, the Republican Party released a video of Kyrsten Sinema talking about her home state producing crazy people.
Yeah.
Right,
we have that audio. I'm gonna forward that audio.
We got to play that later on. I say all that, and we're gonna get to Sam's top five coming up. Is that apart from the obvious desire to know what the outcome of the election is? Right, there's all the obvious reasons, you know, why we want to see how these midterms play out. Okay, I am so curious to see how they play out from the standpoint of the tactics the Democrats are using. How accurate are these polls? Because you look at this particular story with Kyrsten Sinema, all the stories we've been talking about this week, and then the irrational, ridiculous freakout of Kanye West going and visiting Trump yesterday. And I'm so curious to find out what, if any, impact this ends up having on these midterm elections. Because I think it has the potential to take all those polls and just set them on fire.
I said it before, and I know some people will scoff, but when it comes to polls, I do think that the Trump base is severely underrepresented in the polls. So that's why I don't get too upset. Like, you know, and if you look, even if you look at the sample size, I mean, these polls are not, they're not conducted very well. At least the big public ones done by the big media outlets, they are not conducted all that well. There was a poll that was making the rounds yesterday, Minnesota, that shows, you know, all the Democrats have big leads over all the Republicans. And it was done by NBC. The sample size was small, you know, and there's really no... There's no way of knowing with any degree of certainty, like, what geographic areas were polled and represented. It was probably largely in the metro area. So, of course, Democrats are going to perform better in those polls. And that's why sort of my rule of thumb is, if a Republican is actually doing well in a poll, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think Republicans and the Trump base are very underrepresented. If the Democrat's doing well in a poll, well, it's probably a little closer than what the poll indicates.
Yeah,
it's generally my rule. It's obviously not going to hold true in every race, but that's how I've been looking at polls really since the last election.
We will have that audio from Representative Kyrsten Sinema coming up. Also, Sam, I assume internet is scoured, being scoured, or soon to be scoured.
It is. I don't know. I'm pulling audio, so I didn't really hear what you said.
Okay.
But scouring, yes.
We'll bring you Sam's Top 5 next.
Justice in for...
John, I got some bad news.
Hmm.
I don't know if you heard this or not. It's not in the prep today. It's kind of a big deal.
Okay.
United States Postal Service proposing a record stamp price increase.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you mail a lot of things. I know you are a prolific letter writer.
Well, you are a
pen pal to the stars.
You're not. Well, you. Anyway, go ahead and finish, and then I'll comment.
Proposing a 5-cent price increase on stamps. Priority mail rates would also go up, and they want to hit Amazon with higher rates as well.
Okay,
so it's not going to. I mean, the average American it doesn't do a whole lot of mailing, but they receive a lot of mail, so it's small but cumulative. It will affect the prices of a lot of things that we all enjoy getting shipped to our houses.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll keep that from happening so often. I actually did, up until about 4 months ago, I did mail a lot. I took like one Saturday and switched as many of my bill paying over to online paying as I could.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done that. So every month I was probably mailing out, or every paycheck or so, I was probably mailing out 8-9 pieces of mail a month. And
we stopped doing that a long time.
Yeah.
There's a few things that you can't do online, but a handful.
I'm trying to think of what I have left. There's like some of the doctor's office. There's some doctor's offices, depending on how special they are, that you can't do online payments. Oddly enough, there's actually a lot of government stuff that you can't do online. I mean, you would think you would be able to, but you can't.
Right.
But I'm down to like maybe one or two mailers. It can't be that much longer until that goes away. I mean, I guess it'll probably be there in some way, shape, or form. The post office that we've been hearing about, and I know we got a friend of the show, Tim, who I believe works at the post office, and I think he's pushed back on these on this sort of comment before, but last I checked, I mean, they were still running like a $1 billion deficit, right?
I don't understand how the post office loses money. I mean, it's got almost not. It doesn't have a full on monopoly, but it's got very close to a monopoly for most kinds of mail. And there's so much like advertising that's done via mail. The coupon books that I get and throw away every single day, political mailers, things like that. I just only government,
right,
could lose money.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Was you're surprised that the government can find a way to go and lose money?
From CNN, facing pressure from the Trump administration to address a revenue shortfall, the Postal Service on Wednesday proposed raising the price of 1-ounce letters from 50 cents to 55 cents, which would be a record nominal increase. If approved, the price of each additional ounce would go down slightly.
It wasn't that long ago where it was 25, right? That's what I remember. Like, if you had asked me what the standard price was, I would probably immediately go 25, just because I remember it being that for a long period of time.
And a quarter, yeah.
651-989-5855. You can use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter, and in case you didn't hear, #250 on your smartphone. Say TCNT or Twin Cities News Talk if you want to give us a call.
It is that time of the morning, powered by our friends over at Early Bird Electric, that Sam scours the internet and brings you the top 5 stories you need to know.
Number 1.
Kanye West, wearing his MAGA hat, delivered a kind of surreal Oval Office show. From the Associated Press, live from the Oval Office, it was Kanye West. The rapper didn't rap, but seated across from President Donald Trump at the Resolute desk, the musician delivered a multi-part monologue on yesterday, that touched on social issues, hydrogen planes, mental health, endorsement deals, politics, his hat, and so much more. Kanye said that he's been knocked for supporting President Trump.
So as a guy that looks up to you, looks up to rapper, and looks up to American industry guys, non-political, no bullshit.
Kanye said that it's time for America to change course.
Let's stop worrying about the future. All we really have is today. We just have today, over and over and over again, the eternal return, the hero's journey.
And he explained that wearing a Trump hat makes him feel powerful.
You know, they tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends, but this hat, it gives me It gives me power in a way. There was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That's my favorite superhero.
I want to know genuinely from those that like Kanye within the community that have supported him, how they feel about it. We'll talk about the reaction to it from the pundits. There are a bunch of just
reaction is ridiculous.
There are a bunch of ridiculous. It's
gross.
There are a bunch of idiot fools. We're never going to find out. At least now, we may find out in a few weeks. But I would genuinely like to know what the populace thinks about this.
Yeah,
this is
a longtime Kanye West fan.
Yeah, this is Kanye being Kanye. Nobody, they act all surprised by this. He always has acted this way.
He's not acting any differently.
No,
I think that he's always been kind of known for going on political rants, like at his shows.
Well, I don't know about political rants, but just eccentric. He's always odd. He says weird things. He goes off on weird tangents. He's always been kind of a strange, eccentric dude. And yeah, there's nothing different about how he's acting. Yet all of a sudden now it's like, I think he's got mental problems.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that SC Cup said that.
I could not. I was shocked.
I was shocked.
Really disappointed.
And
it wasn't just SC Cup.
No, I know that. All of CNN, they all lost their flipping minds over this whole thing. And look, the truth of it is, if Kanye were to go there and not support Trump, they wouldn't say anything bad about him. They would applaud him. They would talk about how he's speaking truth. But it's only because he's there kind of supporting Trump. I mean, in Kanye's way, it's not like he's even gone all the way in. They're losing their minds over it. It's sad. It's sad. It's sad and pathetic. 651-989-5855. We'll get to more of Sam's Top 5 coming up next.
Number 2.
Justice.
Chilly Friday morning. Twin Cities News
so
Talk.
Chilly.
AM 1130, 103.5 FM. It's Justice and Drew. If you miss any portion of the show, you can check out the podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Another post-show podcast yesterday.
That's right.
If you're not
listening to the post-show podcast, I don't know what sort of choices you're making in life.
You're making the wrong ones.
But yeah, they're clearly incorrect.
Yes.
I don't listen back to our show. I do listen back to the post show, yeah, though.
It's pretty entertaining. Fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday's we recorded promos.
Yes.
On the post show.
Yes.
Well, that was something that we scenes look,
talked
know?
About doing.
Yeah.
So we figured we'd give it a try.
I think it's funny because I feel every time that we record promos, I'm like, gosh, we should have been recording that because it's funny.
I personally like listening to that. I've heard other shows and I get a kick out of that. And that's what's most important. So
that's right. That's right. We primarily do it for our entertainment.
Exactly.
And we are very entertained by ourselves.
Before we get back into Sam's Top 5,
we want to put a grand in your hand. Listen to Twin Cities News Talk all day long for your chance to win $1,000 every single hour. This hour, your keyword is luck. Text luck to 200-200. Standard message and data rates apply.
Good luck.
I see what you did there. It's a bad dad joke. We are still at the start of Sam's Top 5, the lengthy opening to number 1, and this is the meeting and the fallout of Kanye West and President Donald Trump. It's my understanding, by the way, too, just and again, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. So they had sort of this press one-on-one. But then they talked privately afterwards,
I
right?
I believe so.
That was the whole. Right. And again, this idea. Well, let me hold off. I'm going to hold off on commentary. Let's go ahead and continue because I know you have more audio to play, Sam.
So everyone on the left after this whole Kanye thing completely lost their mind. Don Lemon, he's the CNN Tonight host, laughed when rapper Kanye West was referred to as the token N-word of the Trump administration during a segment that aired on Tuesday night. The segment, which has been slammed as racist, began with Lemon asking if President Donald Trump is simply using Kanye as a prop to win over black voters before the midterms.
Bakari, do you think Trump is just using Kanye as a prop to win over black voters before the midterms?
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure he's using him as a prop per se, but what Kanye West has done with Donald Trump is what other people have done who've gravitated into his orbit, which is just shower him with adulation. For what reason, I have no idea.
He was elected president.
My issue with Kanye West is quite simple. It's that anti-intellectualism simply isn't cool. And Kanye West, these issues, as you stated, these issues that they're going to talk about are issues that are central issues in many African-American communities. They're very important issues. But the fact is, we're not sending Kanye West to the White House to talk about these issues because he can't. He doesn't have the depth to. I want to hear what Kanye wants to do when we're talking about criminal justice reform or prisoner reentry. The fact is, he cannot.
But Jay-Z was
doesn't
okay?
have that depth. Just the other day.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was talking about STEM programs and how we needed to have more STEM programs and had to turn around and ask his colleague, what did STEM mean? And so Kanye West is what happens when Negroes don't read.
Oh.
We have this now, okay. And now Donald Trump is going to use it and pervert it, and he's going to have somebody who can stand with him and take pictures.
Okay.
And then everything just devolved to them literally Scott's laughing.
They're so Scott's pleased like, with themselves.
Okay.
They really are.
It's a Chris Rock reference, by the way, Scott. It's
funny.
Go back and watch the old Chris Rock stand-ups from the 90s.
Yeah, those remarks prompted a lot of laughter from Lemon and that host that you just heard, that woman, his fellow panelist, Tara Settmeyer.
Will it? I don't know. Work for who? It's not going to work in the black community. Listen, black folks are about to.
Listen, maybe it'll work, Tara. Will it? I don't know.
Work for who? It's not going to work in the black community. Listen, black folks are about to trade Kanye West in the racial draft. Okay, they've had it with him. He's not the same.
Whoa! Kanye. I do know that reference. I know that that is an old Dave Chappelle skit. I know that one.
Go.
I got that one.
God.
All right, good. I'm one for two. All right, keep going.
Cool. Now imagine if the. If the roles were reversed, right, and it was a bunch of white people on Fox News saying this about, like you said, Jay-Z,
right,
who I don't know how many times he visited the Obama White House. It's this idea amongst so many people that if a black person happens to stray from the liberal reservation, right. Clearly, there's something mentally wrong with them. They're not thinking for themselves, and they're just being used. Kanye West is an amazingly successful person.
Right.
You don't become an amazingly successful person by being a complete and utter idiot and letting other people just use you.
Right.
Right? He's very unique, right? He's very independent. He's done a lot of things that that nobody else has ever done, right? And he's been praised throughout his entire career. For being such a unique personality and creating such a unique product and unique music. And then he goes and he does this, and now all of a sudden he's just, he's clearly just a puppet.
Right.
It's so gross.
They're doing to Kanye exactly what they did to President Donald Trump prior to him running or getting involved in politics. Now, there was a different level. There was a different type of sort of viewpoint of then Donald Trump, right, before he ran for office. But he wasn't sort of universally condemned until that happened. And then that didn't even really happen until after he got the nomination.
Essie Cupp also weighed in, and she called Kanye sad.
may we live in interesting times. Look, all jokes aside, I thought that was really sad. I think you had there a man who's clearly not okay and a president who's willing to exploit that. Mm-hmm. And worse, to exploit that under the auspices of race relations and black communities, joblessness, mental health, all the things that ended up in this bucket of issues that were sort of addressed in this free-for-all, I don't know that any of them were very well served by this circus.
The mistake that's being made right now isn't that people are criticizing him now, it's that they never did it before. Again, Kanye hasn't changed. Right. And everybody was fine with it. Everybody understood it. Everybody accepted it. He's different. You know, he's eccentric. Even his music,
especially his music,
speaks to how he is as a person. I wholeheartedly agree with you. He never would have reached the level of success that he did if he wasn't an intelligent man. You can't have it. The left I'm sorry, guys. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
You can't sit back and talk about what a leader he is in any community, and then suddenly when he actually goes and, in my opinion, is trying to learn something. He's trying to find truth. He's trying to open his own eyes and actually do what so many on the left have said for years. You know, look at another side.
Right.
You know, look at other people's viewpoints. He's
as long
doing...
as it's not Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's Trump, you're right. now you've got mental problems.
Right. And if it were any other Republican in office, it would be as long as it weren't them.
Yes.
You know, as long as it's not George Bush, as long as it's not, you know, Ted Cruz had he won.
Oh.
You know, whenever a Republican is in the White House, all they know how to do is demonize. That's it. That's all they know how to do.
It's amazing if you go back to that Center of the American Experiment lunch that we went to where Candace Owens spoke.
Yeah.
She predicted all of this, and she was spot on,
mm-hmm.
You know, and she's got her pulse on what's actually happening in the community. I don't presume to know by any stretch of the imagination, but she was talking about how important Kanye was going to be and what they were going to do to him. And it's like she had the script to the movie before anybody else did, and we're just watching it all play out.
Number two.
Obama had a secret plan to validate the Clinton victory if Trump didn't accept it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bah, bah, bah.
So weird.
Right.
From Fox News.
But did he have a plan of what to do if Clinton didn't accept it?
Clearly not.
There was a point in time when we went to bed super early in the morning the next day, and it kind of seemed like she wasn't going to.
Yeah.
From Fox News, former President Obama had a plan to validate the 2016 election in the event that then-candidate Donald Trump lost and challenged the results. Obama administration officials told New York Magazine that a bipartisan plan was in place just in time for the election to certify the results and reveal the intelligence community's claims that Russian interference supported Trump's candidacy.
See, this whole Russia thing, man.
Collusion.
This was all cooked up.
Oh. Yeah.
This was all cooked up by people in the government. You know, by people in the Clinton campaign, people in the Obama administration, people in the government, as a story ready to go, in order to just end any question of Clinton as a legitimate president. They all believed Clinton was going to win. Remember, Clinton was clouded by her own FBI investigation, right? So they were really nervous that not just Trump, but that the electorate, the American people, would not consider Clinton a credible president. So they had this whole story cooked up, ready to go, in order to not just validate the election results, but validate Hillary Clinton as president.
This whole cooked up story was a measure devised after Trump said that the election was rigged and joked on the campaign trail that he wouldn't accept the election results if he lost. He said, "I will totally accept the result of this great and historical presidential election if I win."
Yeah, and he was... making a joke.
Yeah, I know. Everybody knew he was making a joke.
He's saying like he's making some kind of crazy, ominous promise.
You know, in the wake of all the lunacy coming from the left right now, that makes more sense because I can imagine the Obama administration and everybody around Hillary's campaign at the time going, no, we get to do that.
Yeah.
You don't get to... No. You don't get to say this isn't valid. That's our play.
Right. Right.
You no. Okay. Well. Let's make sure we've got what do we got. Russia works.
Yeah.
They haven't talked about Russia in movies for a long, long time. So let's go ahead and use Russia.
The plan to validate the election involved former Secretaries of State Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice. Former presidents and congressional Republicans also participated in the plan. Ben Rhodes, a former top aide of Obama, told the magazine that the administration feared Trump wouldn't accept the election result had Hillary Clinton won. He said it wasn't hypothetical. Trump was already saying it on the campaign trail.
And then look what happened. I mean, talk about, you know, who didn't accept the election results. I'm not sure Hillary Clinton has yet to accept the election
results. Oh, she definitely hasn't. What happened?
The left hasn't accepted the election results. They'll never.
They're literally chanting, "Not my president."
Yeah, right.
They'll never accept it.
Yep. They still think that Trump was installed. He was installed as president.
Jen Psaki, she's the communications director for Obama, minimized the plan's significance, saying it was just one of a number of red teaming discussions about the potential fallout following the 2016 election.
It was just one of a bunch that they had.
Including pro-Trump protests and political division.
Every one of those discussions centered around, well, Hillary's going to win.
She said
that was the entire problem with the whole thing.
Yeah.
She said that Obama's unpopularity among, quote, a portion of the population meant that there was a need for a plan to validate the election.
Well, then why didn't they try to validate Trump's win? You know, I mean, that would have been really nice of Obama.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been really nice of Obama. But, you know, he was so concerned about validating Hillary's win, never once give a thought to validating Trump's win. Instead, now, you know, we've got half the country or so that really doesn't, that still refuses to accept the election results. You talk about these broad divisions that we have in this country and all the concern and all the political unrest. Obama, if he actually gave a damn, could have done a lot in those last couple months between November 6th and January 25th to do something about that and bring together some of those rifts.
Yeah.
But he couldn't be bothered.
Do you guys remember there was a period of time during the campaign and the general election where people were questioning whether or not, and we had a lot of commentary, I mean, talking about it, questioning whether or not Obama actually wanted Hillary to win?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
I've come to the conclusion the only reason that was happening, it was because of the perception that he wasn't helping her. No, the reality was Obama didn't think there was any worry about Hillary Clinton winning the election either. So probably didn't think he had to bother. I don't think that he ever didn't not want Hillary to win. I just think that he fell under the same sort of, you know, thought that, well, this is somewhat inevitable.
Yeah, he was probably like, that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I will do what I should do and just kind of stay out of it.
Yeah, I'll stay in my cushy office. You go campaign, whatever. It's fine.
We do have the round table coming in. Brian McDaniel, comedian Brian Miller, will be joining us shortly. Plus, we will wrap up the rest of Sam's Top 5 right after this. Justin.